There is a maneuver every student pilot learns in the first few weeks of training. It gets practiced, it gets signed off, and then it moves to the back of the mental filing cabinet because it does not feel as exciting as a steep turn or as technical as a cross country. And that is exactly why pilots get into trouble with it. I'm Pattern. You're listening to Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. And today we are talking about the go-around. Not as a formality, not as a box to check before your check ride, but as a genuine skill that if you do not understand it deeply is going to cost you either on your practical test or in a real airplane when it matters most. Let me start with something I hear from students who are getting close to check ride day. They say, I know how to do a go-around, I've done it 100 times, and I say, walk me through the exact sequence, about half of them get it wrong. Not dangerously wrong most of the time, but wrong enough that an examiner is going to notice. And wrong enough that under pressure with a crosswind and a tail dragger behind you on the taxiway and a passenger in the right seat watching every move, wrong enough that it could become a real problem, so let us walk through this together from the beginning. Before we get into the mechanics, I want to talk about why the go-around is psychologically hard, because the mechanics are actually pretty straightforward. The psychology is where most students struggle. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The go-around feels like failure. It feels like you did something wrong, that you made a mess of the approach, and now you have to admit it. There is a social pressure sitting right there in that cockpit with you, and it is invisible, but it is real. If you have an instructor in the right seat, you do not want them to think you cannot land. If you have a passenger, you do not want them to be nervous. And if you are solo, there is this quiet voice that says, I can save this. That voice has killed people. I am not being dramatic. Runway excursions, landing accidents, runway overruns. Some of the most preventable accidents in general aviation come from pilots who had every reason to go around and did not. They talked themselves into continuing an approach that was not stabilized. They told themselves the runway was long enough, even though they were floating past the 1,000-foot markers. They tried to save a landing that should have been abandoned on short final. So before we talk technique, the first thing I want you to internalize is this. The go-around is not failure. It is aeronautical decision-making. It is the smart play. Examiners know this. Good instructors know this. The pilot community knows this. The only person who thinks the go-around is a sign of weakness is the student who has not been taught otherwise. I'm telling you otherwise right now. Quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of this journey. Got your first solo? There is a coin for that. Private pilot certificate in hand? Instrument rating? Commercial? They have got you covered. It is a great way to mark the milestones that actually matter. aviationsoul.com. Now let us talk about when to go around. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate require you to recognize the need for a go-around and execute it promptly. That word promptly matters. Not eventually. Not after you float 300 feet and decide things are not going well promptly. The ACS describes what a stabilized approach looks like and, by implication, what an unstabilized one looks like. If you're high and fast on final, and you know it with less than 500 feet to work with, that is a go-around. If you are drifting sideways, and you cannot get aligned before the numbers, that is a go-around. If you get a gust that puts you in a corner, if your airspeed is bouncing around, if you are uncomfortable, that is a go-around. The decision window is smaller than most people think. Once you are below about 200 feet in the pattern, your options are shrinking fast. The earlier you make the call, the easier the execution. Waiting until you're at 50 feet and something goes wrong means you're doing the go-around in the most demanding part of the maneuver. Make the call early, make it decisively. Now the technique. Here is where I see most students get tripped up, and it comes down to a sequence. What do you do first? What do you do next? And how do you handle the flaps? In most trainer aircraft, the go-around procedure goes like this. Throttle to full carb, heat off. Establish climb attitude, then manage flaps incrementally as you climb. Let me say that again, because the order matters. Power first, then attitude, then flaps. Not flaps first, not climb attitude first and forget the power, and not all the flaps up at once. Here is why. When you're on short final in a trainer, you're probably slow, you're probably configured with full flaps, you're probably not far above stall speed. The moment you add full power, you're going to get a pitch-up tendency in most single-engine trainers because of P-factor and torque. You have to be ready for that on the controls, but here is the trap that gets students. Full flaps create a huge amount of drag. If you pull back too aggressively when you go around, you're climbing into that drag before you have the energy to punch through it. In the worst case, with full flaps and a nose too high and not enough airspeed, you are dangerously close to a stall in a climb configuration with the ground very nearby. That is not a place you want to be. The correct technique is to add full power, level the wings, establish a climb attitude, and then retract the flaps incrementally. Not all at once, incrementally. Most aircraft pilot operating handbooks will tell you to retract to the intermediate flap setting first, verify a positive rate of climb, then retract the rest. Follow your aircraft's pilot operating handbook. That book was written by the people who built your airplane on the Cessna 172. The go-around procedure calls for full throttle, carb heat off if it was in use, flaps to 20 degrees immediately, establish a climb attitude, and once you have a positive rate and enough airspeed, flaps up completely. The Piper Cherokee has a similar sequence, though the flap detents are different. Know your airplane. That is not generic advice. That is specifically the thing your examiner is going to ask you about during the oral portion of your practical test. Let us talk about carb heat, because this is one of the most commonly botched parts of the go-around. You are on final. You have carb heat on, as you should with a carbureted engine at reduced power. You decide to go around, you push in full throttle. What do you do with carb heat? A lot of students leave it in, and then they cannot figure out why their engine is not producing full power, or why things feel sluggish. Carb heat should come off when you add power for the go-around. At full throttle, a properly functioning carbureted engine does not need it, and carb heat introduces warm, less dense air that will cost you power at exactly the moment you need it most. Turn it off. If you are using it, make sure it is on cold before you push that throttle up. It sounds simple. Under pressure, with a lot happening at once, students forget. This is exactly the kind of small procedural detail that is right there in the ACS and that an examiner will catch if you miss it. Now, let us talk about what the go-around looks like from an examiner's perspective. The examiner is looking for several things. 1. Did you recognize that a go-around was needed? 2. Did you make the call promptly, or did you waver? 3. Did you execute the procedure in the correct sequence for your aircraft? 4. Did you maintain directional control and track the runway centerline through the climb? 5. Did you communicate your intentions to the traffic pattern? That last one is worth a moment. When you go around, you should be on the common traffic advisory frequency announcing your intentions, or if you are at a controlled field, you should be telling the tower. Something like Cessna 275 Hotel going around. Brief, clear, and it keeps everyone in the pattern from being surprised by an airplane that just climbed back up into the traffic flow. A lot of students do not communicate because they are task saturated. Everything is happening at once and the radio is the last thing on the list. But the communication is part of the maneuver. If you do not make the call, the examiner notices. Here is something about the practical test that I think a lot of students underestimate. An examiner may not always give you a picture-perfect approach to work with. They might let the winds be what they are. They might sit passively in the right seat while you fly your approach, and if that approach is not stabilized, they are watching to see if you catch it. If you do catch it and you go around, you may have just demonstrated better aeronautical decision-making than the student who squeaked a greaser out of a dicey approach and felt good about themselves. In other words, the go-around is sometimes the best grade you can get on your check ride. I had a student years ago, sharp kid, flew well, worked hard, she got to her check ride day, and the approach to the first landing was high and fast, she knew it at 200 feet. She went around cleanly. Full power, carb heat off, flaps incrementally, centerline, radio call, clean climb out, textbook. The examiner told her afterward that the go-around was one of the best decisions she made all morning. She passed with confidence. Contrast that with another student I had who floated most of the runway on a hot summer afternoon. Touched down late, bounced, got airborne again unintentionally, and tried to save it. The landing was technically legal, but it told the examiner something about that pilot's decision-making that a clean go-around would not have. When you get airborne again after a bounce, that is a go-around situation. Do not try to save a bounce by pushing the nose down to get back on the runway. Add power, clean up the airplane, climb out, and set up for another approach, every time. Let us also talk about the common pattern mistakes that set up a bad approach in the first place, because the go-around is the response to an unstabilized approach, and understanding what makes an approach unstabilized matters. The most common mistake I see is an improper base-to-final turn. Students overshoot final and try to correct with rudder alone, or they bank steeply below pattern altitude, or they undershoot and end up with a low-dragging final that they want to rescue with power. Overshooting final is the higher risk error. When you're low, slow, and trying to turn back to centerline with a steep bank, you are in the classic setup for a low-altitude stall-spin accident. The correct answer is never to steepen your bank past 30 degrees in the pattern. If you overshoot, go around. Fly a wider pattern. Set it up correctly from the beginning. The other common approach mistake is flying final without actively managing airspeed. Students who fixate on the runway and forget to cross-check the airspeed indicator frequently arrive at the threshold, either too fast or too slow. Too fast means floating, too slow means you are behind the power curve and the runway comes up to meet you before you're ready for it. Target airspeed control is in the ACS for a reason. The examiner is watching your airspeed on final. If it is wandering 10 or 15 knots in either direction, that is a flag. One more thought before I let you go. And this one is for the students who are getting close to their check ride and starting to feel the weight of it. The go-around rewards calm, disciplined thinking. You cannot rush it. You cannot muscle your way through it. You make the call. You execute the procedure. You fly the airplane. In that order, in that mindset, every time you set up for a landing, part of your brain should already be running a background process. If this is not going well, what is my go-around point? At what altitude, at what speed, at what position over the runway do I decide we are done with this approach? If you have already pre-answered that question, you will not hesitate when the moment comes. Pre-brief your go-around point before every approach, not out loud if you do not want to, but make the decision before you need to. If I am not where I need to be by 500 feet above ground level, I am going around, and then stick to it. That mental habit, more than any amount of pattern work, is what separates the pilot who executes a clean go-around from the one who hesitates at the moment it counts. Most of what we cover today comes straight out of the Airman Certification Standards and the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge published by the Federal Aviation Administration. Both are free downloads at faa.gov. Find us at radiohangar.com. Fly it like you briefed it. See you next time.